This morning on WCHL, yesterday was University Day at the University of North Carolina, and Governor Pat McCrory was in town talking about both UNC and same-sex marriage.
This is a major cultural change in our country.
Same-sex marriage set to begin across the state today. The race for U.S. Senate heats up.
Republicans, if the election was today, they would take control of the U.S. Senate, but it would not take a lot to swing it in the other direction.
And in WCHL Championship Sports, football coach Larry Fedora looks back on Saturday's loss at Notre Dame. All of that and more, plus traffic and weather together. And
now if the Tar Heels can keep playing like that.
That's today in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 61 degrees in Chapel Hill, a cloudy day, and we have some fog to deal with first thing this morning. A little bit warmer today, our high up around 70 degrees, and a chance of rain all day. In his keynote speech on Sunday for UNC's 221st birthday celebration, North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory said that universities must prepare more students for technology and research jobs that need to be filled right now. If that doesn't happen, he said thriving industries could leave our state. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
To ensure we get a return on our investment, more importantly, to ensure that no more students at any of our universities graduate with a huge debt and no job comparable to their investment. Universities must continue to help decrease the job gap by honing in on skills and subjects employers need while also stimulating a student's passion and interest.
Those words are from North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory's keynote address to the audience at Memorial Hall on Sunday in celebration of University Day. Former Governor Jim Hunt was there too. He received a rousing standing ovation when he was honored by the school with an introduction by Secretary of the Faculty Joseph S. Farrell. Hunt was praised for his contributions to education in the state, including his support for the creation of the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics.
Today, he continues his lifelong advocacy of education through the James B. Hunt Jr. Institute for Educational Leadership and Policy.
Hunt, who earned UNC degrees in 1964 and 1978, was the longest-serving governor in North Carolina with 16 years in office. McCrory listed some of his own recent accomplishments during his speech, in which he compared himself to UNC Chancellor Carol Folt. He said that both of them had to deal with problems left behind by previous administrations. Folt became chancellor 1 year earlier to the day.
I inherited the fifth highest unemployment rate in the country, a debt of more than $2.5 billion owed to the federal government for unemployment insurance, a $530 million misforecast for Medicaid, and I also had to deal with teachers who sadly had not had a decent pay raise for over 5 years, and also an empty rainy day reserve account that needed desperate replenishment. Due to some very tough decisions that my administration and others had to take during the past year and a half, these problems are now being resolved.
McCrory said he'd like to see North Carolina become the third vertex of an innovation triangle of research that includes Silicon Valley and the Boston-New York area. Perhaps due to dreary, drizzly weather outside, Memorial Hall was less than packed for the governor's visit. That didn't seem to dampen the spirit of the chancellor, who received praise for her first-year performance from McCrory and members of the boards of trustees and governors in attendance. In her closing remarks, Folt referred to recent challenges faced by the university.
Today, as we reflect on the past and we look to the future, we must also acknowledge that the present isn't perfect. It never is. We have, and we always will, continue to face challenges.
Earlier, McCrory praised Folt for working with faculty members to end grade inflation. Besides Hunt, other recipients of the Distinguished Alumnus Award included Lieutenant General Patricia Jarojo, the first female Surgeon General of the U.S. Army, Andrew McNally, geographer and former CEO of Rand McNally, Attorney Wade Smith, for whom the Wade M. Smith Award of the North Carolina Bar Association is named, and Attorney James Patton, Jr., co-founder of the Patton Boggs Law Firm. Professor of Public Policy Krista Pereira received the Edward Kidder Graham Faculty Service Award for her work studying disparities in health, education, and economic well-being, particularly as they affect Hispanic families. You can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Governor McCrory says his administration will be ready today to implement the state's new same-sex marriage law. McCrory made those comments in Chapel Hill yesterday before appearing at University Day. Luis Fernandez reports for Carolina Connection.
Governor McCrory is looking towards policy change now that same-sex marriage is legal in North Carolina. He said he doesn't agree with the court ruling, but it's his job to move forward with the law.
The main thing is changing the forms. And by the way, there are some complexities in changing the form. You know, you used to have on the form man and wife. You used to ask for gender. You have name changes. So there are some details that need to be worked up. This is a major cultural change in our country. And not just our country, but other countries that we're going to have to adapt to.
McCrory called for people on both sides of the issue to treat each other with respect now that the court has ruled.
You know, there are some court rulings that I agree with, and there are some court rulings I disagree with. But after they make the ruling, it is my job to enforce the law. And I will do just that, and I will execute the law in a professional and a respectful way. Whether I agree with it or not, that's the way our great democracy works. And I think it's a time for healing on all sides. Now that the disagreement has been resolved in the courts, it's our job to live together and work together and play together and respect each other together. And I'll hopefully be a part of that constructive dialogue.
In Chapel Hill, I'm Luis Fernandez.
Carolina Connection is a radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. Following an historic court ruling on Friday, same-sex marriage is set to begin this morning across the state, including right here in Orange County. Same-sex marriage already started in some counties like Buncombe and Wake, where the Register of Deeds elected to stay open late in the event of a possible ruling. That ruling finally came at 5:30 p.m. on Friday from District Court Judge Max Cogburn in Asheville, striking down the state's ban on same-sex marriage in accordance with the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court's ruling that the fundamental right to marry extends to same-sex couples. Orange County's Register of Deeds office was closed by 5:30 on Friday, but it will open at 8 o'clock this morning, less than an hour from now, and Register of Deeds Deborah Brooks will be there accepting marriage applications from same-sex as well as opposite-gender couples. WCHL's Danny Hooley will be on the scene in Hillsboro. We'll hear from him during the 8 o'clock hour. A U.S. Airways spokesman says a flight from New York's LaGuardia Airport safely made an emergency landing at its scheduled destination in Charlotte after oxygen masks deployed in the final minutes amid indications of a pressurization issue. Spokesman Matt Miller tells the Associated Press none of the 146 passengers and five crew members were hurt. He says U.S. Airways Flight 745 reported the pressure issue well into its descent and to Charlotte Douglas International Airport shortly before 7 p.m. on Saturday. The masks were deployed. I don't know how many passengers used them. That's a quote from Miller. He added that the Airbus A320, which left New York shortly before 5 p.m., taxied to the gate on its own to be checked by maintenance crews. He had no immediate information whether an actual problem was detected. North Carolina could join a small number of states that allow concealed handguns at state fairs when a judge considers a legal challenge to the ban on firearms at the annual event. The gun rights group Grassroots North Carolina argues in a legal filing that a recent change in state law makes it illegal for the fair to ban concealed carry permit holders from bringing guns. And a legal scholar agrees that they have a strong argument going into their hearing today. The fair begins this Thursday. Grassroots North Carolina claims several other states allow concealed carry permit holders to bring their handguns to state fairs, including the state of Florida and the state of Texas. The law enforcement agencies that oversee the Florida and Texas fairs said they know of no problem stemming from the concealed firearm rules. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
And things are looking good out there on the roads right now. We're on I-40 looking good in all directions. 15501 Fordham Boulevard, NC-54 looking fine through Chapel Hill, Carborough, Durham all right as well. Still well before rush hour, but if you're seeing anything that we're not reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Send us a tweet at WCHL Chapelboro or call us in the newsroom, 967-8363.
All right. Hey, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your being on top of thanks.
Thank you.
Aaron Keck filling in this morning. Actually, I don't know if we're
not
substituting for anybody.
I'm not substituting for anyone.
That's right.
It's you and me from here on out, Ron.
That's right. I think for the
together, wherever we go.
Till the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Aaron Keck and I, the only people here at WCHL.
Rand, if you're listening to this, go back to bed.
Yeah, really. You don't have to be at work today, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks a lot. Seriously, I really am grateful.
Thank you.
All right, Dickie's Barbecue Pit on the Chapel Hill side of Durham next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather. It is 61 degrees, cloudy, patchy fog this morning, periods of drizzle throughout the day. A little bit warmer than yesterday, but it was really chilly yesterday. Our high today up about 70. Chance of rain is 20% today. Now, also a 20% chance of rain tonight. Temperatures will hold steady in the upper 60s throughout the evening and the overnight hours. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, 50-50 chance of showers, probably in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 70s, low tomorrow night about 70 with a 70% chance of rain overnight, and then a 90% chance of rain and windy coming up on Wednesday. So it doesn't sound too good, does it?
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
On the national front, with Election Day approaching, the race for control of the United States Senate is still very much up in the air. Pollsters say the GOP still has the inside track at its bid to retake the Senate from the Democratic Party, but Democratic candidates appear to be making gains in Republican-leaning states like Georgia and South Dakota, aided in some cases by third-party candidates. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke last week with Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling. You will hear those comments coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. You can also hear the conversation on our website, chapelboro.com. And now, news around town this morning. Acclaimed local writers Michael Malone, Nancy DeMorest, Alan Garganis, and Nathan Katecki will be the featured storytellers at Orange County Historical Museum's 5th Annual Home for the Holidays event. Home for the Holidays features 4 writers sharing their favorite holiday stories. This year's event will take place on Saturday, November 29th at Leland Little's Auction Gallery in Hillsboro. Proceeds benefit the Orange County Historical Museum. Tickets are available from the museum located at 201 Churton Street in Hillsboro. And following the November election, the Orange Durham Chatham League of Women Voters will sponsor a panel on how to advocate for voter protection. State Representative Larry Hall of Durham will be on the panel alongside Mary Clens and Carolyn Jefferson Jenkins of the League of Women Voters. Jefferson Jenkins is former president of the National League of Women Voters. The panel will take place on Monday, November 17th, that of course after the election, from 6 until 7:30 p.m. at the Chapel Hill Public Library. It is free and open to the public. You can get all of our news around town stories on our website, chapelboro.com. Time for championship sports. What a day for football it was on Saturday. Tar Heels were left wondering what could have been Saturday night in the waning moments of a hard-fought but altogether frustrating loss to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on the road at South Bend, Indiana. Small mistakes, again, doomed the Carolina football team, but quite a lot to build on coming out of that game. It was quite a shootout. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
UNC head coach Larry Fedora says the 50-43 loss at Notre Dame was tough to swallow in the locker room, especially with all the self-inflicting wounds the team suffered.
They're hurt. I mean, they're hurting. They know that was a heck of a football team they played today, and you play a game like that, and you feel like you're not that far away, and we just need to get over the hump. You know, we've got to get better in all three areas. We've got to just eliminate the mistakes that we're making, and we got to do much better with just the details, just the little things.
In total, the Tar Heels tallied 9 penalties for 94 yards. UNC also tossed in a pair of turnovers, 1 lost fumble, and an interception. But one bright spot for the 2-4 Tar Heels came at the quarterback position. Coach Fedora abandoned his typical rotation formula, saying he didn't want to disrupt Marquise Williams' fine rhythm in South Bend.
Just decided to take some pressure off of 10 and let 12 go because he was moving the ball and we were effective. I mean, against a very good defense. I mean, a really good defense. And so I thought 12 had a really good feel for what he was doing and what he was seeing. And you know, so we just decided to keep going with him.
Williams' dual threat ability was on full display at Notre Dame Stadium last weekend, avoiding tackles and even finding the end zone with his feet.
Williams looking to Howard on the left. Nothing there. Marquise is going to take off and reaches for it. Did he get it or not? Yes, touchdown, Carolina.
That was Jones Angel of the Tar Heel Sports Network with the call. Missed tackles plagued the UNC defense yet again, leading to big plays that Coach Fedora says crippled his team's chances.
Yeah, you can't give up big plays. If you give up big plays, you're going to have a hard time winning, you know, and that's something, that's one of the two things that we look at is the turnover battle and the explosive play battle, you know, and when we talk on Sundays.
Uncharacteristically, mistakes even began to infect the special teams department. Carolina missed a field goal, had an extra point blocked, and botched a makeable two-point conversion. And don't forget the usually reliable Tommy Hibbard punted from the 33-yard line in the third quarter and sailed the ball into the end zone for a net gain of 13 yards, costing the UNC defense valuable field position. The most controversial special teams play was the roughing the snapper penalty that kept alive an Irish fourth-quarter scoring drive. The Tar Heels were leading and about to get the ball back. Oh, what could have been? With all that said, Carolina did show improvement. An impressive fight on the road in a hostile environment against a top-five opponent. But until the little things are cleaned up, the Tar Heels may have to settle for more moral victories. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
I'll tell you what, I still didn't see that roughing the snapper penalty. First of all, it's a really unusual penalty. You don't see that very often, and I never saw the infraction. I don't know about you. Tough loss for the Tar Heels, but a lot to build on coming out of that game, that's for sure. Mike Nugent missed a 36-yard field goal attempt on the final play of overtime on Sunday, leaving the Cincinnati Bengals and Carolina Panthers in a 37-37 tie, the NFL's first this season. Nothing new about the Bengals tying at home. They finished 13-13 with Philadelphia in their last overtime game at Paul Brown Stadium back in 2008. Now, Nugent made a 42-yard field goal that put Cincinnati up after the opening drive of overtime. Carolina tied it on Graham Gano's 36-yarder with 2:19 left. Andy Dalton was nearly perfect in overtime, going 8-for-9 for 87 yards with one throwaway. He led the Bengals into range to win it, but Nugent sliced his kick wide right. Now Cincinnati 3-1-1 on the season. Carolina is 3-2-1. Sophomore forward Emily Bruder came off the bench to score her first two career goals as the number 7 UNC women's soccer team came back from an early deficit to beat Pittsburgh 2-1 on a soggy field on Sunday at Fetzer Field. Tar Heels have now won 8 matches in a row. They're 9-2-1 overall, 6-0-0 in the ACC. Pittsburgh dropped to 6-8 overall, 2-4 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Carolina dominated the game throughout, outshooting the Panthers 26-6. But Pitt goalkeeper Taylor Francis, a native of Cary, made 11 saves to keep it close. Pittsburgh actually took an early lead and a free kick in the 25th minute, but Bruder came up the bench and scored two goals before halftime, giving the Tar Heels a lead they held throughout the second half. It was another close game for Carolina. Of their 12 games, 10 of them have been decided by a single goal. And that's not counting their one tie. UNC is 8-2 in one-goal games this season. Carolina has a week off before heading to Durham next Sunday to meet Duke in the annual rivalry game. Match time is 3:30. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Now if the Tar Heels can keep playing like that. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The always sold-out crowd at Notre Dame Stadium and their own national TV network audience watching must have thought, who the heck are those guys in the white uniforms? The Tar Heels came out like they have not before this season, forcing two turnovers and bolting to a 14-0 lead on the unbeaten and fifth-ranked Fighting Irish on the biggest home field advantage in college football. You knew the lead wouldn't last, but it sure gave us hope that we might be watching one of the great victories in the history of Carolina football. And if not for a terrible call by the ACC officiating crew, an untimely turnover by the otherwise marvelous Marquise Williams, and some critical missed tackles, the Tar Heels played well enough to shock the world and upset the Irish. Carolina was resilient enough to bounce back after losing the lead and falling behind by 8 points in the second period. rallying to go ahead by a point, a Notre Dame punt turned into a Notre Dame first down when Northquitus Otis was called for a rare roughing the snapper penalty. The rule is to protect a defenseless center while he is looking between his legs at the punter, but the Irish snapper had clearly stood up and was in blocking position when Otis hit him. That penalty kept Notre Dame's go-ahead drive alive when Carolina should have had the ball with the lead. I imagine Larry Fedora and his staff went bonkers when they saw that play on tape after the game. Still, Marquise's careless backhanded interception and several pass interference calls contributed to a gallant performance falling just short. Fedora said his team's guts were ripped out after losing a game they all knew they could have won. But it should be easy to put those guts back where they belong and play the second half of the season, starting with Georgia Tech Saturday night in Keenan Stadium. The smart, fast, and physical Tar Heels showed up in South Bend, and they should be there under the lights against a Tech team that is good, but not nearly as good as Notre Dame. In short, if they can play that way in storied Notre Dame Stadium, they can play that way in the friendly confines of Keenan. A big one got away for sure, but it should give Carolina the shot of confidence it needs to start winning again. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Tired of summer clothes? Then donate them to the PTA Thrift Shop and shop for your new fall and winter wardrobe, as well as other seasonal merchandise. Hi, this is Barbara Jessie Black, Executive Director of the PTA Thrift Shop. You can shop us 7 days a week, and you are guaranteed that new merchandise is put out daily. And remember, your donation helps us support the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School PTAs. Visit our locations in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. The PTA Thrift Shop, so much more than a thrift store.
Tom Wiltberger here of Terra Nova Global Properties with the top three most embarrassing things that have happened to your realtor on the job. Number three, accidentally let the neighbor's cat in, which was standing at the front door. Number two, showed the wrong house. And number one, while showing a house, walked in on people sleeping, or worse yet, bathing. While you might find these funny, buying or selling a house isn't a laughing matter. We're serious about real estate. Give us a call.
Terra Nova Global Properties, focused on you. Online at terranovaglobal.com.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do box breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center. It's 50% off, $60 towards any service or repair, available today for only $30. Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center is a locally owned automotive center celebrating over 60 years of servicing vehicles in the greater Chapel Hill area. You can use your voucher towards vehicle maintenance, tires, repairs, and other services at any one of their four convenient locations. They do everything your dealership does, only better. It's half off from Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
Hey, don't forget, sometime next hour, your opportunity to call in and perhaps get qualified for our Basketball in the Bahamas giveaway sometime between 8 and 9 on WCHL. Also, next hour, we're going to be talking with Danny Hooley, who's going to be over at the Register of Deeds office in Hillsboro. Same-sex marriage starts today. The Register of Deeds office will close by 5 p.m. on Friday. Word finally came down for the judge at 5:30 p.m., and so today will be the first day for same-sex marriage licenses being issued in Orange County. So be with us then again, starting at 8 o'clock this morning. Danny Hooley will be heard from, and we'll tell you more as we get closer to that time. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you this morning by Four Corners.
It is right now 61 degrees, cloudy skies, patchy fog this morning, periods of drizzle throughout the day. We're a little bit warmer today, high today about 70 degrees, chance of rain is 20%. Now, same goes for tonight, near steady temperatures in the upper 60s tonight, and then tomorrow a bigger chance of rain, 50-50 with a high in the upper 70s, 70% chance of rain tomorrow night. Four Corners, home of the $6 lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Join the lunch club and your sixth lunch is free at Four Corners. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel
CBS
Station.
News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. A nurse at a Dallas hospital has contracted Ebola. She'd helped care for Thomas Eric Duncan, an Ebola patient who died last week. At some point, there was a breach of protocol at that facility. Dr. Darren D'Agostino is chair of internal medicine at the University of North Texas Health Science Center.
We can be as diligent and as meticulous as we want to be, but occasionally things happen that expose us to risks.
Officials in Texas are closely monitoring about 50 people who had close contact with Thomas Duncan in that Dallas hospital.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington. In the latest sign of White House concern about the Ebola situation, President Obama's ordering the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to quickly determine the cause of what's described as the apparent breach in infection control at the Dallas hospital. He wants lessons learned from that to be shared. He's ordering federal agencies to take further steps to make sure the nation's hospitals have standards in place to treat any future Ebola patients.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:32 at WCHL. We have 70 degrees. I beg your pardon, 60 degrees in Chapel Hill, and a little patchy fog out there this morning. Please be careful. Our high temperature today about 70. Governor Pat McCrory says his administration will be ready today to implement the state's new same-sex marriage law. The governor made his comment in Chapel Hill yesterday before appearing at UNC's University Day ceremony and delivering his speech there. Luis Fernandez reports for Carolina Connection.
Governor McCrory is looking towards policy change now that same-sex marriage is legal in North Carolina. He said he doesn't agree with the court ruling, but it's his job to move forward with the law.
The main thing is changing the forms. And by the way, there are some complexities in changing the form. You know, you used to have on the form man and wife. You used to ask for gender. You have name changes. So there are some details that need to be worked up. This is a major cultural change in our country, and not just our country, but other countries that we're going to have to adapt to.
McCrory called for people on both sides of the issue to treat each other with respect now that the court has ruled.
You know, there are some court rulings that I agree with, and there are some court rulings I disagree with, but after they make the ruling, and it is my job to enforce the law, and I will do just that, and I will execute the law in a professional and a respectful way. Whether I agree with it or not, that's the way our great democracy works. And I think it's a time for healing on all sides. Now that the disagreement has been resolved in the courts, it's our job to live together and work together and play together and respect each other together. And I'll hopefully be a part of that constructive dialogue.
In Chapel Hill, I'm Luis Fernandez.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. In our next newscast, you will hear some of the comments from Governor McCrory yesterday in his keynote address at University Day. Following an historic court ruling on Friday, same-sex marriage is set to start this morning across the state. And right here in Orange County, the Register of Deeds office will be open at 8 o'clock this morning. Register of Deeds Deborah Brooks will be accepting marriage applications from same-sex couples as well as opposite-sex couples. WCHL's Danny Hooley will be there, and we'll hear from him during the 8 o'clock hour. On the national front, with Election Day approaching, the race for control of the U.S. Senate is still very much up in the air. Pollsters say the GOP still has the inside track in its bid to retake the Senate from the Democrats, but Democratic candidates appear to be making gains in Republican-leaning states like Georgia and South Dakota, aided in some cases by third-party candidates. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke last week with Tom Jensen, director of public policy polling.
It's a really interesting situation. I mean, Republicans, if the election was today, they would take control of the U.S. Senate. But there's five or six races where they're only up by 2 or 3 points. So it would not take a lot to swing it in the other direction. And one poll we did this week that was really interesting was this Georgia Senate poll. The Republican Senate candidate in Georgia is only up by 2 points, and the Libertarian's getting 5%. And the reason the Libertarian getting 5% is so important is that in Georgia, you actually have to get an outright majority to win the Senate election, or else it goes to a runoff, which would not be until January. So right now, if the race remains this close and the Libertarian really gets 5%, that election will continue on into January, and it's possible that runoff election in Georgia could end up completely determining control of the Senate, and we wouldn't even know who was going to be in charge of the Senate until January. So there's all sorts of strange outcomes possible when you see these close races in some of these states like Georgia and Louisiana that have weird election rules.
And speaking of third-party candidates, we've got a survey in South Dakota, a Senate poll that's basically got a three-person race, right?
Yeah, South Dakota, I think, for the first time this week is being recognized as a state where the outcome of the Senate race is really undetermined. The Republican candidate, Mike Rounds, who's sort of been the prohibitive frontrunner, there's now been multiple polls in the last week just showing him between 35 and 40%, which usually between 35 and 40% you would lose. The problem for people who are trying to defeat the Republican there is that the Democratic candidate, Rick Wyland, and then an independent candidate, Larry Pressler, who's a former Republican senator but also endorsed Barack Obama in both of his elections, are pretty much splitting the rest of the vote. Wyland's at 28%, Pressler's around 23-24%. So because those guys are each taking a pretty decent chunk of the Democratic vote, that's still letting the Republican be up. But now Democrats have decided to go in and spend a couple $1 million there in the last month. So that's a race that's on the table now that wasn't even on anybody's radar screen a month or two ago. This is just there's just so much chaos with this race for control of the Senate in a way that has not been the case in previous cycles.
And you can really tell where people are looking at based on where the money's going. I know in Michigan that was supposed to be a close race, potentially a Republican pickup, and just recently Republicans stopped spending money there effectively, and they're moving their money elsewhere. And sort of the same thing here in reverse, with Democrats sort of looking at South Dakota and saying, well, maybe we can get a win.
Yeah, this is definitely the time of year where you start to sort of see things come off the board, and Michigan's the first Senate race that was perceived to have been competitive earlier in the year that really has sort of come off the board. So that's one less place that Democrats have to defend now, and that gives you an opportunity to maybe go and invest in a place like South Dakota where you previously hadn't planned to spend any money.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling, and looking at that Georgia race, we've got two candidates very, very close to each other, the Republican and the Democrat, that Libertarian Amanda Swofford polling at 5%, which could turn the tide one way or the other. Sort of a similar story in North Carolina, where Sean Hall, the Libertarian, is pulling a small percentage of the vote, but that might be enough to sway the vote if it's close. To what extent, first of all, to what extent do you see a third-party candidate like the Libertarian sort of holding that percentage on Election Day? And also, to what extent do you see that helping one party over the other? Conventional wisdom is that the votes for the Libertarians are taking votes away from Republicans, but is that necessarily the case?
Yeah, in the case of Haw, it is one where he's taking support away from the Republicans. When we've asked Sean Haw's supporters over the course of the year, well, if you had to choose between Hagan and Tillis, who would you vote for? They pretty much say that they would vote for Tillis. So to the extent that he's having an impact on the race, it's more hurting Tillis. We've already seen Haw's support decline a fair amount over the course of the campaign. And May and June, we found him at 10, 11%. Now he's down to 5%. And I think you may see that drop further. But there's a precedent in North Carolina for the Libertarian sort of helping to tip the balance in an incredibly close race.
That was Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling in North Carolina. Early voting starts October 23rd. That's only 10 days away. Election Day is Tuesday, November 4th.
It's 7:40 at WCHL. The complete interview with Tom Jansen and Aaron Keck on our website, chapelbro.com. Aaron joins me now in the WCHL studio. And how's it
good
going
morning.
This morning, big guy?
Doing all right.
Can't say you're substituting for Rand North.
I am not substituting for anyone. It's a new week.
The beginning of a marathon week for Aaron Keck.
Yes, I will be here in the morning and then again on the afternoon news from 3 to 6 today and 3 to 7 every other day of the week.
Just
check in with me on Friday and ask me how tired I'm going to be.
Yeah, just amazing, folks. Just amazing. Well,
but I mean, you say that, but I mean, you all should know listening out there, Ron Stutz is on the air from 6 a.m. to 9, and then you don't hear him again for the rest of the day. But he's here all day. I'll walk out of the building at 7 p.m., and Ron Stutz will still be here.
Sometimes,
yeah. So you say it's amazing, but you are also amazing.
Just because I love being here.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that's what it
course.
Is. What's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Oh, lots going on. We've got obviously our news and sports. That interview with Tom Jensen, you mentioned it's on the website. It's not yet. It will be up here later on this morning. So if you want the full interview, check back a little bit later. We'll have that up. We do have right now a column by Jeff Danner, the Common Science blog, always updates on Sunday. And he's got one on something that you might have heard about, which is disappearing lakes. This will be interesting. He's going to be on the air at 4:30 today, and we'll talk about this. But various large lakes around the world are sort of shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and drying up. There's been one in the news, the Aral Sea in the former Soviet Union. I'm not sure exactly which country it is now. But the Aral Sea is drying up, Lake Chad in Africa. And it's not just other places. Also in the U.S., Lake Mead out by Vegas is drying up as well. So it's got a column about that, what causes it, what we can do about it. Also, photo galleries from Susan Murray. She's got a couple of them up from this weekend. The most recent one is the Terra Vita Food Festival.
Yeah.
She's got one gallery up from one of the events that was related to Terra Vita. There were several around the area this weekend. Really, really big and cool event. She's got a gallery up from one of those, so check that out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our news and sports and community calendar and everything else. We've got our chapelbro.com Pick'em contest, which I'm doing horribly at this year in college football. I won last year. I need to throw that out there. So the fact that I somehow managed to miss 6 out of 10 college football games. It's been a crazy year in college football.
Been a lot of upsets.
And a lot of just wild games. You see, I mean, the UNC Notre Dame game was won, and then every single high-profile college football game this weekend was extremely high-scoring and back and forth, and you have no idea who was going to win. I think the Baylor-TCU game was back and forth several times in the fourth quarter alone, and Mississippi State is number one. Did you see that?
Mississippi State's awfully good.
Mississippi State is number one, and Mississippi is number three.
Wow.
I never thought I would see the day. It's Alabama. It's Auburn. It's Florida. Yeah. It's Florida State. It's never Mississippi State. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird this year.
Well, they're really good.
They are really good. And, you know, Florida State, they're number two. They're undefeated. They've not been playing all that impressively, and Notre Dame is number five. And I mean, you saw them against North Carolina. They're a good team, but
they're
also beatable. Those two teams are playing each other this weekend, so another top five team is going down.
Yeah, we almost got them.
We almost got them.
We did.
That would have been such a huge win.
I'm proud of the way
to be honest, you know, we were joking at the station, and I'm sure a lot of people out there were like, oh, Carolina's going to get blown. No, they did not get blown out at all. They played extremely well. Tough team they played against, but this might be that turnaround. We saw that last year. They were 1-5, and then they rattled off a bunch of wins in a row. Maybe this is the turn.
I was really proud of the way they played. And,
yes.
Certainly, Marquise Williams was outstanding. I hated to see him make that mistake at the end of the game. But other than that, he played a great game.
Yeah.
He's had
a pretty decent year.
And that roughing the snapper penalty was ridiculous.
And that's
I saw the replay on that, and I agree with Art. Art says the guy had stood up.
You know, it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Well, the thing is, there are calls like that in every single football game. And a lot of times you'll have a call like that right at the beginning of the game, which ends up making the difference in the end, but you don't remember it because it happened so early. Yeah. And it's just a call like that that happens late, and then you go back to that. But it happens in every game.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, at any rate, thanks so much.
Yep.
And we'll check in with you and get a look at the traffic.
Yep. Check out the website, chapelboro.com. We've got a whole lot more up there as well.
You got it. 7:45 at WCHL. Raleigh Mann has today's commentary coming up.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInEvents.com.
For the best burgers and fries in town and where kids eat free on Sundays, head to Buns in Chapel Hill. Right in the heart of downtown, on Columbia Street between Franklin and Rosemary, Buns sells amazing burgers every day for a taste and a price the whole family will love. And remember, on Sundays, you can purchase one adult combo and receive one free kids' meal. So when you're craving burgers, take the family to Buns. It's burger perfection.
VacationExpress.com.
Hey, Chapel Hill. VacationExpress.com sees you in Grand Bahama Island this fall. VacationExpress.com is offering amazing deals like the all-inclusive Memories Grand Bahama Beach and Casino, starting at just $6.99, which includes nonstop flight, all-inclusive resort, all meals, drinks, taxes, and more. Paradise is calling, so don't miss your chance to be beachside for four unforgettable nights. It really is better in the Bahamas. Book your fall getaway today with VacationExpress.com.
VacationExpress.com. Of the nearly 200 local dentists, how many have repeatedly been voted by their patients and peers best in Chapel Hill and the Triangle? Like the Kennedy Dental Group, now located at 1721 East Franklin Street across from Eastgate. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, Dick Wagner, and Leland Webb combine for over 100 years of experience. They want patients to be healthy and stay that way. They have developed the philosophy of practical dentistry. Dentistry provided in an honest and conservative way using the most up-to-date technology. Check them out at kennedydentalgroup.com or call them at 967-9291.
All right, 61 degrees in Chapel Hill, 747.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This Raleigh Mann. Before Betsy and I moved from Florida to Chapel Hill 38 years ago, we studied several potential destinations. Where would be the best place for us to raise our three daughters? We wanted to live in a community that offered good public schools and access to the arts. Chapel Hill seemed like the perfect fit, and it was. They enrolled in Sewell Elementary School, then on to Phillips Middle, then Chapel Hill High School, all excellent schools where their teachers were wonderfully engaged, caring, and inspiring. Back in the 70s, people in public office tended to support excellence in public education. That's changed, of course, as Republicans have worked hard to undermine public education in every way they can, both here in Chapel Hill and across the nation. When our nation was just getting started, John Adams insisted that people take responsibility for what he called the education of a whole people and be willing to pay for it. When people came to America from other countries for a better life, we all valued public education as a great way to educate them into productive citizens and create unity out of diversity. These are worthy goals at any time. Don't they still apply today? So why are other nations educating their people better than we are? Why are our elected officials bent on widening that gap? Why are they working so hard to create alternatives for the privileged while destroying the opportunities for the rest of us? Why do they devalue our best teachers? Why are the Chapel Hill Carrboro schools, once the standard bearer for public education in an enlightened state, now in the position of having to choose what to cut from their budget? We know who got us into this mess. Their priorities are wrong. Their systematic destruction of public education weakens an entire nation. And their misguided campaign now has come home to the once excellent schools of Chapel Hill and Carrboro. So what are we going to do about it? This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Things aren't the same as they were when GEICO started saving people money over 75 years ago. We didn't have reality TV. Back then, it was just reality. The most exciting thing that ever happened was when Jimmy got his head stuck in a gopher hole. And trust me, that's not a show anyone would binge watch. Yep, we didn't have much entertainment, but switching our car insurance to Geico was pretty exciting.
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Good morning, it is 7:50 at WCHL, and time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic this morning is brought to you by Glass Half Full.
And we can make it a quick run, Ron. I-40 looking good, Durham traffic fine. In Chapel Hill, we've got a little bit of a slowdown on Fordham Boulevard. Both directions between Raleigh Road and Manning Drive. If you're heading towards Durham, right around Manning Drive is where you'll see the slowdown. If you're heading towards Carborough between Raleigh and Manning, you'll see a slowdown. If you're seeing anything else that we're not reporting, be a WCHL Road Warrior. Send us a tweet at WCHL Chapelboro or call the newsroom 967-8363.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. And the beautiful garden patio is open now for outdoor dining at the end of the day. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too, at Glass Half Full. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. Cloudy today. We're starting out at 61 degrees. Patchy fog this morning. Watch out for that. Periods of drizzle throughout the day. A little bit warmer than yesterday, and yesterday was downright chilly out there. Our high today, about 70 today, and only a 20% chance of rain. That will go through tonight. Low temperature tonight, holding steady in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, 50-50 chance of showers, probably in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, we'll have a 70% chance of rain, and Wednesday, 90% chance of rain. So, Wayne Pond, whatever you do, keep your head covered, buddy. Because it's going to get wet again.
I intend to be that way.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, Ron, how you doing, buddy? Is Aaron still there?
Of course I am.
Aaron, tell me, apropos of that spot you just ran, is fanhood a word?
Is fanhood a word?
You know, you don't have to blah, blah, blah to prove your fanhood.
I think it's a word insofar as it's a sound with a meaning that's conveyed.
What the heck did you say?
As opposed to that sentence, apparently.
Wow. I was just curious. That has nothing to do with the word of today.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you play it in Scrabble if it would count, but
I'm even more confused now than I was in the beginning.
Then my work here is done.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! All right. Well, here we go. The word of the day. It's got nothing to do with poorly written ad copy. The word of the day is chevron. Chevron. C is in cat. C H E V. V is in Victor. R O N. C H E V R O N.
I think chevron might have had some bad ad copy at some point in their history.
Listen, has anybody ever written anything that can truly be called good ad copy?
Well, we're
walking on sacred territory here. We better be careful. Chevron, a figure, a pattern, or an object having the shape of a V or an inverted V. Now, look it up in the dictionary, guys. There's all sorts of wonderful variations on this definition that will just make your eyes water with detail. incredible stuff. But that's basically what we're talking about here. You know, like a badge on a sleeve or a uniform. Again, a figure, a pattern, or an object having the shape of a V. There is there's the essence of chevron on Monday morning. How do you like that, Ron?
I like it. And I think if we ran a commercial that included the phrase essence of chevron, that would be good ad copy.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding. It would certainly make me go buy something.
Silly, silly, silly. You boys have a good day, and I will talk to you in the morning, okay?
All right. Hey, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day at WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I don't know.
Next hour, we'll have an opportunity for you to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, if you can do all that. And if you can do it in Wayne Pond fashion, then I will give you a $10 gift certificate to... cruisers. If only radio were TV. Well, it's time now for the clean joke
of the day. The important thing is that it's not.
Yeah, clean joke of the day, ladies and gentlemen. And today, delivering the goods in so many ways, Aaron Keck.
The town's United Way office realized that it had never gotten a donation from the town's most successful lawyer. Volunteer in charge of contributions called him to persuade him to contribute. Our research shows that out of a yearly income of more than $600,000, you don't give a penny to charity. Wouldn't you like to give back to the community in some way? The lawyer said, listen, first, did your research also show that my mother is dying after a long illness and it has medical bills that are several times her annual income?
Wow.
The United Way said, no. Second, the lawyer said, did you know that my brother is a disabled veteran, blind, and confined to a wheelchair? The United Way guy starts to answer. The lawyer cuts him off. Third, did you know that my sister's husband died in a traffic accident, leaving her penniless with three children?
Whoa.
The United Way rep says, I had no idea. The lawyer cut him off once again. And I don't give money to any of those people, so why should I give money to you?
That's terrible.
The lawyer's terrible.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
lawyer's
yeah,
terrible.
Certainly not
yes,
you.
Yes.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
756 WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Diane Brown is today's WCHL hometown hero. You have been involved in Chapel Hill for a very long time.
Yes.
You were Chapel Hill's original soccer mom back in the early 70s.
I think maybe that's true. There were a lot of soccer moms, but I had so many players. I had four in my family who played Rainbow, who helped start Rainbow, helped Kip Ward with the fields, with the posters, with everything. And I did lots of driving.
You were helping to organize everything, and you would have meetings at your kitchen table. And I remember your name as being one of the ones that was prominent with just about all town affairs, one way or another.
I don't know if it was everything, but I think back in the 70s was a very interesting time with the Rainbow Soccer, and I was in the League of Women Voters, and I'd been this local president, then the start of the RSVP program.
Yeah, you were the first executive director. Tell me about that experience.
I saw an ad in the paper. They wanted someone who could work with volunteers, and I thought, oh, I can do that, and I applied for the job, and I got it. It was a brand new program, so we started with two volunteers and several places that they could work, and I'm so pleased that it's still going on.
Oh, yeah. You were also the chairman of the Orange County Board of Elections and president of the North Carolina League of Women Voters. Worked a long time at the Dispute Settlement Center in Carrboro.
When the voting age, the kids could vote when they were 18, I'd have them come to my house and I'd put up a little flag. Yet I would register them to vote. I worked for 15 years for a dispute settlement center, mainly doing mediations in district court. And I did that till I was 74. I did the voter stuff at the same time.
Diane Brown, I have to ask you, you have reached the young age of 83. But what are you doing these days?
Actually, what I'm doing is going through boxes and boxes of memories, I guess. I have a lot of things from soccer days. I have a lot of letters. I think I saved everything. I may be your original back rap, especially of that time in the 70s. I think that was one of the most interesting times in my life.
Diane, I know that you have spent a lot of time working on various projects. What makes this community so special?
I think that people are willing to work on new ideas or start new projects. Just seem to work together very well. At least that's been my experience.
I know that you brought up five kids of your own. I want to congratulate you for being today's WCHL hometown hero.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather looks like this. First of all, it's 61 degrees and just kind of dreary out there. We got some patchy fog this morning, and we got to have just a slight chance of rain today, about a 20% chance of rain today. Tonight, same thing. And then tomorrow, a 50-50 chance of rain. The following day, it'll be 90%. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Ebola spreads.
Blood test on a caregiver proved positive for Ebola.
Dallas protocol breach.
That breach in protocol resulted in this infection.
Snapchat hacked.
If they're going to send something that they're not comfortable with their grandmother seeing, they should not be sending it.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, a Dallas healthcare worker has Ebola, and the first transmission of the virus in this country has officials blaming a breach in protocol.
We're now looking at all individuals who cared for the index patient. We'll be determining how many of those may potentially have had contact that would have resulted in a break of protocol and possible contamination.
This is Steve Futterman in Dallas. This nurse, who has now tested positive for Ebola, did help treat Thomas Eric Duncan, the Liberian man who died from the Ebola virus here last week. This is the first known case of Ebola being contracted or transmitted in the U.S. The apartment building where the woman lived has been cordoned off by police, and authorities are trying to identify people she may have had contact with.
CBS's Manuel Bajorquez has more.
In the nurse's neighborhood, volunteers handed out flyers about Ebola, and those within a four-block radius received a reverse 911 call.
Please be advised that a healthcare worker who lives in your area has tested positive for the Ebola virus. Precautions are already in place to clean all known potential areas of contact.
The call was meant to reassure neighbors they are not believed to be at risk, but the sight of yet another Dallas apartment being decontaminated was unsettling.
Scary, it's creepy that it's just a few houses down.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington. In the latest sign of White House concern about the Ebola situation, President Obama's ordering the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to quickly determine the cause of what's described as the apparent breach in infection control at the Dallas hospital. He wants lessons learned from that to be shared. He's ordering federal agencies to take further steps to make sure the nation's hospitals have standards in place to treat any future Ebola patients.
Ebola could prove a threat to the world's chocolate supply. Ivory Coast, producer of the raw ingredient in M&M's, Snickers, and other chocolate bars, has shut its borders with Liberia and Guinea, two outbreak countries that will limit the workforce to pick beans. Not in Missouri, where a St. Louis University sit-in is climaxing several days of protests over police shootings. KMOX Radio's Michael Calhoun.